The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy.
Whoa.
I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
who
difference.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know...
Hello, and welcome to episode 144 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host for tonight's episode, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by the host, one of the co-hosts, but the main host of the New Slate Podcast, none other than Young Littlefoot. What's going on, Littlefoot?
What's up?
It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, I've been in the cut.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Let the people know how they can follow you on Twitter, and tell them that they need to listen to the New Slay.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat at Young Littlefoot, and that's Y-U-N-G Littlefoot. And I have a podcast on alexislittlefoot.com and also on the... What do I say? Can I say the network or...
Yes, CSPN.us as well. You can find them there.
I just didn't know what to say because I know we can't say the other word anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're on SoundCloud, we're on iTunes, we're on all that good shit. So there's no way you couldn't be listening to us. It's me and my two co-hosts.
And let them know about the t-shirt.
Oh, shit. I do have a wrestling t-shirt that I created in my mind and that I'm selling for $45 right now, currently on pre-order on alexislittlefoot.com/shop. It's an Undertaker shirt. You should go buy it.
Yes. You should see her model it and then go buy it.
No, you should just go buy it. You don't even need to see it. You should just click buy.
Well, Alexis, you know, we're always glad to have you here as a guest on the WrestleCast. So thank you for stopping by. And we are also joined by our first time guest tonight. We're joined by Mike. Mike, what's going on, man?
What's going on, everybody? Man, thank you for having me. Good to be on your show. First time guest, first time listener, just ready to talk pro wrestling with you guys, man.
Oh, man, thank you for coming on. Now, as of course, all first-time guests have to give us a little background, a little bit of origin story. So, Mike, give us a little background on your journey with professional wrestling.
Well, I've been a wrestling fan pretty much as long as I can remember. My dad got me into watching pro wrestling. Our little thing would be, we would go to Blockbuster back in the day, and instead of renting movies, we would rent wrestling pay-per-views. And that would be our thing. We would do that and get some Chinese food. And on a Friday or a Saturday night, kick back and watch whatever, WWF, WCW, just whatever. He knew I just grew to love that. So, man, I've been watching it my whole life, man. I've been a lifelong fan. Never been any breaks in between. I just enjoy the genre, enjoy the art form. And I love to talk about it as well, so.
Wow, that's awesome that you didn't have any breaks in between, because usually everybody has like a little siesta or two.
Okay, so there was, I was banned from watching it towards the tail end of the Attitude Era. My mom and dad was like, nope. And looking back, I mean, I can see why, but I would sneak and watch. We didn't have cable, but I would still sneak and watch SmackDown. And I remember one episode in particular that I snuck and watched. It was the tag team, the TLC match on SmackDown when Jericho and Benoit was champions. And I remember sneaking and watching it, catching it at that exact moment. I didn't see the whole match, but I remember watching, you know, the end part, and I had to go, and I was hearing so much about it. So I went back and rewatched it, and amazing match.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. You're at the WrestleCast. You guys can find us at CSPN.us. You can also find us on WrestleCast.tumblr.com. You can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. You can also find us on any podcast app for Apple or Android. So we're going to turn over to Young Littlefoot, as she has some news that she wants to talk about. So Young Littlefoot.
Hold on, let me pull it.
All yours.
It was on Instagram. Somebody tagged me in it on Instagram, which I don't even know this person that tagged me in it, but they just shared the tea with me. They know I like the tea. That's good. Okay, so the source is Wrestling Observer Newsletter, and it says there has been talk of doing another superstar shakeup after next month's WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view. According to new reports by PW Insider and the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, WWE previously held a roster shakeup in April after WrestleMania 33. While it might seem early for another shakeup, the Observer notes that there's definitely talk of making a few roster moves in the fall. There's also been talk of sending one or more superstars from the main roster to WWE NXT. Big T right there. The moves from the main roster to NXT would be for talents that were major stars in NXT that Vince McMahon simply is not going to push on Raw or SmackDown, even if they are over or talents or who are doing nothing on the main roster, with the feeling that they could be more useful as top stars in NXT. Which to me sounds like a demotion. Like, that's just a cute way of saying demotion.
Well, to me, it sounds like Dolph Ziggler, you're the first one that's going back to NXT. But actually, it would work for him, though, because the people down there would love it.
Yeah.
All I care about is Enzo. Like,
Yeah, he would be suited better in NXT. I feel like, obvious. Go ahead.
I feel like he's going to SmackDown. I mean, he ain't got no tag team partners over. Like,
it was obvious. Even when he was in the tag team, once they got called up to Raw, it was obvious how Vince McMahon felt just in the way he was booked. Like, in all the matches, he would, you know, be getting the heat, getting beat up, and then he would tag in Big Cass to do the dirty work. He was never booked to be like a strong partner. It was made to look like Cass was carrying him, and I didn't like that.
That's not true.
I mean, as far as
I'm going to tell you why. Because
you're talking
to
the biggest Enzo Amore stand in the world, so be careful.
Need each other. We both know, especially from this current situation, that Cass cannot talk on the mic. We don't want to hear you talk. Just wrestle. And Enzo, we don't really want to see you wrestle, even though it's entertaining, but we'd rather hear you talk. So they were R. Kelly and Jay-Z, best of both worlds. You got the talking, and you got the action. Now, apart, I just see my man's out there looking like the chick that got dumped and she don't want to let the relationship go. Yeah. And then I just see Kaz as, okay, you're wrestling the Big Show. Yeah, who has
Kaz, he doesn't do it for me. He didn't do it for me while they were together. To me, I feel like they're vastly overrating him just because he's 7 feet tall, and I put that in quotation marks because he looks more 6'8", 6'9". And his mic skills, his best mic work came that night when they broke up, and that promo he cut. That was the best I've heard him cut a promo in NXT or on the main roster. That felt real. That felt, when he cut that promo, that scathing promo, and Enzo with the tear coming down, that promo felt real. Everything else.
Let's not talk about that one.
Kaz, he just doesn't, he doesn't do it for me. He's severely overrated. I see him being demoted back to NXT if they do that, go through with that whole superstar shakeup ordeal thingy, or just being floundering on the card at on Raw.
Hopefully, Sami Zayn isn't one of those guys. But that's kind of sounds like kind of territory where he might.
In my mind, I'm like, well, y'all not sending John Cena to NXT, like, so who y'all sending? No. Like, come on.
Oh, I could give you a whole list of NXT guys that were popular in NXT and did well at NXT, but got to the main roster and Vince was like, eh.
Right. And there's a couple, but from what the little paragraph was saying or whatever, it sounds like there's current WWE stars that are going that were never NXT that in NXT that are still probably be end up in NXT, which to me that's big demotion. Like you might as well just fire me.
I mean, but they did that a little bit before. Jinder Mahal was in NXT, Cesaro was in NXT for not full time. Who else? Was one more. Heath Slater would go down there, I think, from time to time. Zack Ryder, the other guy, Kurt Hawkins. So they've done it sparingly before. Like, they've had like guys who were like on WWE main event,
but
on the NXT.
To be honest with you, though, if you're not doing anything, and you know what I'm saying, you come in, like let's say you're Summer Rae, right? And you're coming to Raw every week. They got you you're doing all this stuff on the side, but they find you to Raw every week because you're still in the contract. But they're not using you. They don't have anything for you. So all you do is hang out at catering all day, and then they never use you, and then you go back home, and then you come do it again all week or whatever. I bet you she would love to go to NXT and get put in their women's division because, I mean, at least she'd be doing something, and she'd be a big name, like, off the bat again. So I don't know if going to NXT necessarily would be that big of a promotion. But there's only a few times that
NXT will want to see you wrestle Liv Morgan. Like, nobody cares is the point. Nobody cares.
As long as it works both ways, as long as you can still go down there, do real good, and then come back, then okay. Then, but, you know, if there's like, okay, once you get back to NXT, you get stuck in NXT, then, nah, that's no good.
I mean, but NXT travel is the best of both worlds. I mean, you tape at Full Sail once a month, tape 4 episodes, less travel, less you're home more. Just on that front, I mean,
who cares? I'm not getting paid to be home. I'm getting paid to be on the road.
Okay, true.
I'm getting paid to work. I'm not getting paid to be in Florida. It's not really how it works. I'm not getting paid for vacation.
Yeah, hopefully Vince changes his mind on that, though, and they don't shake it up because, man.
No, it's kind of hard to change Vince McMahon's mind.
Yeah.
Really, what his want is to put AJ Styles back on Raw because he know he fucked up by taking him off. I bet that's what this whole thing is probably really about.
That was probably like the best thing they could have done for SmackDown, yeah. Though. Like,
it was because he straight up carried him. And speaking of SmackDown, our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Missy Janae, doing the run-in. What's going
on,
friend?
Hey, hi, friends.
What's up?
Man, wine will kick your ass if you're not paying attention.
DD. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I feel like you popped up like Carmella does out the cut. On them promos,
yeah, Naomi. You just gotta jump in.
Every time
Noah and
Naomi cuts a promo, she turns around and Carmella's right there.
Yeah, and it don't help that I wait. Like, I just be like, let me just slide in when I can. Like, hi.
Came in with the run in.
I did. I was trying. I promised I tried to be here earlier, but my phone said, "Not today, Satan. Not today." So I had to get all the way home to get onto the call, and for some reason it worked perfectly, so I don't know why my phone don't want me to be great, but I'm here now.
You got Android, is that why?
You tried me. I don't have Android. I have a 7 good. Plus. Get your life.
Ooh. Me too. I just got one.
Won't he do it? I me too. Mm-hmm. I had to get me a good thick case because I'm clumsy. Yeah.
Oh, mine's not in a case.
Oh, mine's in a case. From Amazon.com. What are you doing? Amazon.com, 7 Plus phone case.
Apple Plus. So if it breaks, it's over. I'm taking it straight back to Sprint and get another.
See, I don't know nobody, so I got to do what I got to do.
Well, we're glad that you're here, Dee Dee. And so with that, we'll get into your pay-per-view, SmackDown Matters this weekend, Battleground, hashtag Battlecast.
What, we playing Who You Got, or we doing the results?
No, we're doing the review. If you want to tell us who won, you can tell us who won. But yeah, this was just overall, this was not the best effort from SmackDown.
The funny thing is I swear I watched it, but I don't remember much of it at all. Like,
that's exactly what it was meant to be.
It was Sunday night SmackDown.
Well, SmackDown usually is more memorable. You already went through what happened this Tuesday or no?
No, we're really just getting started.
Oh,
you're right
on
time.
I didn't miss much at all.
No, you just missed news.
Oh, that's fine. So we'll get to it. But like the fact of the matter is, if you call it Sunday Night SmackDown, then it gets what happened this Tuesday. So it wasn't even as good as SmackDown, which is kind of disappointing. But the first match was Natty versus Charlotte versus Becky versus Tamina versus Lana. What? Was there a pre-show? You know, I don't believe
in
those.
Yes,
that was a pre-show.
Yes, you know there's a pre-show.
I don't believe in those. Wait, okay. If I'm being honest, I've been so booked this week that I did not get a chance to do Who You Got, but I'm convinced that I won.
You probably did.
I won.
Check your results as I give you the finishes.
All right, hold on. Let me see if I know where my results are. Don't start yet. Who was on the pre-show? Go ahead.
Yes, yeah, so we'll start with the pre-show because we know that DD does not do pre-shows. Hashtag say no to pre-shows. Right. Thank you for everybody who joined us for hashtag Battlecast and hashtag say no to pre-shows. We had Todd Dillinger versus Aiden English. And English, he gets the win with the Dragon Suplex. Well, a variation of the Dragon Suplex.
Aiden English won?
Yes, he won.
Yep, he won.
So we were all wrong. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
I should have had faith in Ginger Bay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Yeah, so, you know, Q1 up for Aiden English. Good for him.
I mean, yeah.
Then we get to the Pyro. The actual Battleground pay-per-view starts. First match, SmackDown Tag Team title match, The New Day versus the Trap Usos. Jimmy misses the splash, and Kofi hits Trouble in Paradise. Xavier Woods then hits the springboard Macho Man elbow, and New Day are your new SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
If you were playing along, that was when I got my first point, and that is when Ace Dizzy Flow and Don lost their first point.
This was a good match. This was fantastic. The spot where Xavier tried the springboard Macho Man elbow and caught the super kick. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, that was a good. That was good.
Yeah, that was an ill spot.
Yeah, that could have been the finish of the match. I mean, in real honesty, it could have been over right there. Xavier Woods really showed a lot though in this match. You know, we don't really get to see him really get a long match to wrestle, and he actually got a lot of time to wrestle. It showed a lot. So I think a lot of people were impressed with Xavier. So. Anything else y'all want to add before I move on to the next match?
I'm a winner.
Just a slight little note I liked on a commentary. I liked how JBL kind of made it seem as if the New Day, they went with Woods and Kofi to combat the Usos' speed, I guess, as opposed to Big E. So that was a nice little logical tie-in there, the way JBL kind of did that. So I kind of liked that.
Okay, look at one time for the commentary. Stepping up.
Yeah, you cold, because I do not remember nothing JBL said.
All right, then we got our second match on the card. Everybody's favorite, Nakamura versus Baron Corbin. And that was so funny. Everybody was like, he better not interrupt this entrance. but don't none of y'all be saying that when the Drifter be out there, though. What's up with that?
It's a different kind of music.
I'm just saying, fair is fair. So Nakamura wins by DQ due to getting hit by a mule kick and playing inside the referee by Baron Corbin. After the match, Corbin hits Nakamura in the gut with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Then Corbin gives Nakamura the end of days. So
those who chose Nakamura to win technically are correct.
Yes, technically.
Points
yes,
for they, you.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yes. I'm so frustrated with I hope they do something more with him on the main roster, because I don't like how they're using him on the main roster. I mean,
he's facing John Cena next weekend.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's like the first decent thing they've done with him.
The face off with AJ Styles at the ladder match was cool.
Yeah, that was fire.
But I mean, his matches have been since he's been on SmackDown. To me, I feel like there should be so much. Maybe they're building him up slowly, but to me, as of right now, it's been underwhelming.
No, see, the thing is this. Again, at certain points, you have to go old school to make people bigger so they seem a big deal. He should have got a chance. He shouldn't have never had to wrestle Dolph Ziggler to start out. Or if he wrestled Dolph Ziggler, he should have just murdered him.
Yeah.
But what happens is you should let him just wrestle a bunch of James Ellsworths for about 2 or 3 weeks and just so people can see him, but maybe every other week. So the interest doesn't get old, and just have him beat a jobber really bad, King of Strong style. Just lay it in, beat King of Strong style. So people are like, "Oh, okay, I get it." And then when he wrestles these matches now, you have a reference. But right now, you have a lot of hype, but you don't really see it. Yeah. And I think having those jobber matches, you would have been able to see what the hype was about.
Yeah, I thought they were going to start bringing the squash matches, you know, back on a more regular basis when they first did the brand split or whatever. You saw it with Nia Jax, you saw it with Braun Strowman and a couple other people, but then they've kind of gotten away from it. And yeah, I like that they should have done that with Shinsuke, like you said. I was hoping they didn't make him a victim of, like they usually do, the 50-50 booking, because Dolph, his first feud, I mean, he should have, like you said, he should have just murdered Dolph or ran through Dolph or saved Dolph for down the line if they wanted to do competitive matches.
Right. Right, yeah, his first, like, after a month of just murdering folks, or 6 weeks of just murdering folks every other week, then Dolph should have been stepped up, and then the match should have happened. But, yep. Next, we get our 5-way elimination match for the number one contender to the SmackDown Women's title between Charlotte, Becky, Natty, Tamina, and Lana, and Nebe, the Glow, Champ Glow, was that commentary at ringside. So they wrestle for like 5 or 6 minutes, and all of a sudden Becky eliminates Tamina and Lana with the disarmor. Then Becky gets eliminated by Natty with a roll up. So now we just have Natty and Charlotte. Natty gets her knees up on Charlotte's moonsault attempt. Natty then does like a roll up kind of, and it basically Charlotte hits her back of her head into the turnbuckle, and Natty pins her, and Natty will face Naomi at SummerSlam.
And Deanna is a winner.
Yeah, nobody had that coming.
I had it coming. I mean, I didn't really believe it.
There was one part of this match that really bugged me, though.
Tell me.
Go ahead.
What part was it?
Okay, so the Tamina Lana thing, we still don't know what the fuck that is, and don't get me started. But they're supposed to be a little, like, clique or girlfriends, or Lana's teaching Tamina some dance moves. Whatever it is, I really don't know. But if that's your man's, you're supposed to have your man's. Where was your antennas, Lana?
Right. I thought the same thing. Like, baby, what is you doing? The one thing you cannot do is let Tamina get eliminated. Now, it's one thing if Tamina lets you get eliminated, but it's not right. Supposed to happen right. The other way around.
She's saving your ass this whole match. The whole match was Tamina putting her cape on for Lana. That was the whole 5 minutes of the match was revolved around that. And then, all of a sudden, Tamina come through. She gets, you know, tapped out, which I thought Lana was supposed to come through the ropes and kick Becky straight in the head, and then they both eliminate Becky. That would have been a colder elimination than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like a double pin on Becky or something, if y'all really a team.
Right. Yeah, they did not stick with the storyline they had established with those two.
But that's normal. They do that.
Yeah. Dee Dee, anything besides gloating that you picked Natty when nobody had it coming? Nobody saw it coming?
I be knowing. I am magical. I told y'all so. Hashtag follow the leader.
Who did everybody pick if they didn't pick Natty?
They picked Tamina. Don and Ace Dizzy Fo picked Tamina.
Because I was thinking that Lana was going to be the muscle. Or, you know, a little bit more have her back than what we had.
What
but it didn't work out that way. Yeah, apparently. Yeah, in hindsight, definitely. What muscle? So next up for the United States title, we have AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens. Owens fights out of a crossface into a cradle and gets the pin. Kevin Owens wins U.S. title.
And again, DDB knowing.
It looked like they pinned each other, as it looks like AJ's shoulders were just as much down as Kevin Owens. And when the referee came up, he raised Kevin Owens' hand. So it's kind of like a controversial finish. At least at the time, it appeared to be a controversial finish. So
I read somewhere that the finish was changed mid-match.
Doesn't doubt me, man. Vince can walk in anytime, anywhere, and just be like, "I don't like it." And
yes, so that's why AJ had that little confused look. I don't know. It was said that maybe there was supposed to be some kind of like controversial finish, but if you notice, they didn't do any replays or anything right after. It just kind of moved it right along. So
yeah. So I don't know, man. Congratulations, DD.
You're welcome. I believed in my chunky Canadian friend, and I'm happy.
Next match, everybody's favorite, John Cena.
Meh.
Versus Rusev in a flag match.
Yawn fest.
Cena gives Rusev an AA through two tables that he had set up by this little podium. And after he does that, John Cena places his flag in the flag stand on the podium, and John Cena gets the win.
And Don gets his first point of the night.
That's my first right one?
No, that's your second. You got Nakamura right.
Okay.
Two.
So you got what, four?
I have one, right? Two, three, four. Yeah, I have four. And Ace has none. No, he has one. He has Nakamura. He has one. So 4-2-1. That's where we're at.
Yeah, you win.
I won.
I don't know. We got to make sure you get the next one right.
Then we all win. Got it. I mean, spoiler alert, we all got it right. So I won anyway. Yay.
Yeah, so anybody have any thoughts on Cena versus Rusev, just besides, like, we all knew it was coming? They could have done this on SmackDown on July 4th, and they probably would have been better off.
They really could have saved this kept this for that episode, because I was like a flag match, really? I mean, why? Rusev should have been a face, but that's another story for another day.
Yeah, man, Rusev, you know, he's actually kind of been maybe miscast here lately because, like, he's never actually, he doesn't really cheat a lot. He has a really hot wife. So, I mean, he's really good on the mic. He says funny stuff. You really kind of want to, like, cheer him more than boo him, actually.
Yeah, especially coming back from that injury. They could have used that and even gone for a while. Fans want to see him. Perfect time to hit the reset button sort of on him. But they went with the match we've seen 10,000 times already.
Yeah. Littlefoot, you got any comments on John Cena being back?
I'm over it. Okay. I'd rather next him be gone shooting a movie.
Next, we had probably the second best thing on this pay-per-view besides the opening match. We had the Fashion Files as Breezango. They were trying to figure out, you know, the mystery of who's been out there, you know, stalking them. And the Ascension rolls up and it's like, it was us. And of course, they say, no, it wasn't y'all because y'all were at a concert. You know, calling back to when they, you know, first questioned them and they took the Eddie Money tickets. So they were saying, no, it couldn't have been y'all. Y'all were at the concert. So then lights flicker. All of a sudden, we get Tyler Breeze. He's knocked out. All of a sudden, lights flicker again. Fandango, he gets knocked out. And then we get, like, we see, you know, while the camera gets, you know, it's on the ground or whatever, kind of like Blair Witch style, somebody drags Fandango out of the picture. And then we kind of are left with the cliffhanger. So another good Fashion Files. Yeah, I think that people were more upset that they didn't wrestle because it seemed like, you know, it had kind of been built up like they were going to wrestle and the people seemed really hyped. And then when they didn't come out, it kind of seemed like they were kind of let down a little bit.
Maybe they're saving a payoff for SummerSlam.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It got to be. But just kudos to those two guys who took, you know, something that normal people would probably scoff at and they've really, like, turned it into something that's, like, must-see for SmackDown every week. I really enjoy these. I mean,
I want to see what more shows they can flip. Like, there's one ton of, like, crime shows that they can flip.
Oh yeah, for real.
I don't think they've done a CSI yet. I don't think they've done. There's so many old shows that they could do.
Yeah, could like Matlock or something.
In the Heat of the Night, Matlock. They've done Walker Texas Ranger.
That's the only one I didn't like.
What?
I didn't like that.
With the horse.
You didn't like the horse?
I didn't like that one. Yeah, that was the weakest one to me.
Fandango made that work. He has such a dry sense of humor, and it works. Everything just works.
But yeah, man, shout out to the Fashion Files. So we get DDs, Ginger Bay, Sami Zayn versus Mike Kanellis and my Ginger Bay, Maria. Sami hits the exploded suplex in the corner. Sami then gives Mike the hell of a kick, and Sami gets the win. He's on a roll, y'all.
This wasn't on our lists, so.
Oh, okay.
You know. Points for everybody, sure.
No love for the power of love? How dare you?
We didn't know about it. I think it was a last-minute addition.
Yeah, it was just added, like, the SmackDown before that Tuesday.
So, last but not least, main event. Gender Gang Stand Up. Jinder Mahal versus All Lives Matter. Randy Orton.
The modern-day Maharaja.
In the Punjabi prison match for the WWE title. The great Khali, he arrives when Orton is about to exit the prison. Khali chokes Orton out while Jinder recovers and climbs out of the Punjabi prison and gets the win. Littlefoot, I think we were on here talking the last time about how fresh the Singh brothers be looking every time. I think that's the last time me and you actually had a chance to talk about wrestling. We were always talking about how fresh to death they be looking. When they're around Randy Orton, I hope they have their insurance paid up because he's going to really hurt one of them boys, man. It's always high risk and high danger whenever Randy Orton puts his hands on the Singh brothers.
Right, and there's only a little bit that you can do in dress shoes, so.
Of course. Yeah, they do be clean, man. Of course, the Singh brothers were hiding underneath the ring, you know, so they got a chance to interfere. And, you know, so all the shenanigans kind of, you know, took place after then. The match really kind of ramped up. But until then, it was just, you know, a Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal wrestling match inside of a cage you could barely see in. So, you know, all in all, a very, very, very disappointing pay-per-view from SmackDown. This was so weak.
Yeah. I would have liked to see more, like, props used in that match. Like, there was, like, no steel chair. The only thing they used was, like, the announce table, which, okay.
Yeah, for those type of matches, like cage matches and Hell in the Cells and all those, yeah, they gotta kind of use the Brock Lesnar rules where they kind of let the violence kind of escalate to a point where, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, you know?
Yeah.
To pay it off. If it's so much animosity and vitriol for Randy Orton for what he did to his family, yeah, he should have been able to, you know, use chairs, brass knucks, anything else he could bring in there since there's no rules.
Do you think do y'all think the no hold no blood thing hurts matches like that? With
oh, for sure.
It's because you need some blood if you want to admit any kind of realism in those type matches. Like, not a lot. You don't necessarily need a lot, but you need there should be a pass, you know, for those guys to.
Yeah. So, anybody else? Didi, what was the final tally for who you got?
The final tally is that I won. With 5 points, you came in second with 3 points, and our friend Ace Dizzy Flo is in the back of the pack with 2 points.
All right, so Didi's on there. Take a bow.
I win. Clown me.
That's 2 out of the last 3 for you.
Yeah, I'm proud of me because I was doubting the hell out of my choices dealing with you all. But when it's right, it's right.
All right, so next we'll go to Monday Night Raw. Just like we did last week, we'll just kind of give a big overview of it, not really go line for line, so to say. Kurt Angle starts to show off, you know, trying to get to the bottom of what happened last week at the end of the main event. So, of course, he announces that we're going to get a 3-way. It's going to be, or excuse me, a 4-way for the Universal title. It's going to be Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. And then Braun Strowman proceeded to make somebody from the Performance Center famous as he threw a man out of the ring and nobody caught him. So that shit looked painful.
Ooh, he just made somebody a gif.
Yeah, for real. If you're familiar with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and the way that Uncle Phil removes DJ Jazzy Jeff, yeah, very reminiscent.
That's what I said. Very reminiscent. That's what
I guess the next biggest thing would be that Bayley defeated our girl, Sasha Banks. Sasha came off, she hit the frog splash, Eddie Guerrero frog splash, and Bayley kind of kicked out of the pin and reversed it and pinned Sasha and got the win. So she will be facing Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam. Now, Littlefoot, did you give, which will actually turn out to be the second to last Talking Smack ever. Did you give Sasha Banks that promo that she cut on Alexa Bliss about not being a fan and being fake and not being able to, you know, name 2 wrestlers or whatever?
Everybody tweeted me. I never watched that, like, after show or whatever about the whole promo. But apparently she says the same thing that I've been saying about Alexis. Because if people don't know, because I say this on my podcast a lot, and I say this on Twitter, I went to high school with who everyone knows as Alexa Bliss, but I knew her as Lexi Kaufman. That's who I went to school with.
Oh. So,
and she was the same exact person that she's playing on TV in real life. So I have no comment.
She's so good at it.
I have no comment. And low-key racist on the lowest. Actually, high-key racist, but no.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Wasn't expecting that.
Just where are all the faves problematic? Why?
I know.
Why do you have faves that you couldn't find a career in cheerleading then? Just that I'm trying to choose my words very, very kindly.
Yes, we don't have money for slander lawsuits here on CSP. Allegedly. Just say allegedly and everything's fine.
No. Couldn't find a career in cheerleading, so luckily they were discovered by Triple H, and here we are. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Wow.
Because if anything else, she could be a housewife and pregnant, like all the rest of the girls from our high school. So.
And you can get more insight like this and more when you listen to the New Slate podcast. Let's see. Another big thing was Nia Jax beating Emma with the Rolling Senton. It was amazing. Ooh,
that was a nasty looking senton, man. I kept replaying that over and over. Just the impact. She squashed poor Emma.
She literally squashed her.
Like from the sound effects, like everything just said that was painful.
Yeah, the crowd really was like taken aback. So I think she should keep doing that.
Yeah.
Got a little bit more end zone big cast. Unfortunately, did not turn out so good for Enzo. Caught the big boot, gets beat, and then Cass continues to beat down. Then Big Show tries to come to the rescue, and he gets beat down. Bunch of Empire elbows from Cass. So
yeah, that's I can't watch.
I'm not sold on him. He's overrated.
It's not that I'm not. You know, I love Enzo and Cass, but it's just the whole storyline. I just can't.
Yeah, I know. We've been worried about you from the beginning. From the first time Enzo got attacked, we've been worried about you.
Like, none of this would have happened if it would have just came out to be crime time. Like, why is nobody listening to me? Not saying.
Didi, if Jason Jordan isn't going to be using any of Kurt Angle's moves, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think sometimes you have to create your own rumor to prevent the other rumor. So I think the problem was he looks a shit ton like Kurt Angle. So they're just like, oh yeah, we'll make him his dad. It's fine. It's cool. But they don't have any real plans for the kid because he's still the black kid. And they're still the WWE.
I feel like
mid-card.
There would have been a more like... I feel like now this with Jason Jordan, it's a little bit more serious, like this is my illegitimate kid, as if like if this was actually Kurt Angle and Chad Gable, it would have been like more like comedic elements in it, because mm-hmm. now it's like, oh, look at this poor black kid, he didn't know who his parents were, we found his biological father. That I have a problem with internally, because if you read between the lines, that's basically what it is. I feel like if this was a white kid, they would have been like wearing matching cowboy hats and drinking, like chugging milk cartons together, like just funny, like nostalgic stuff. I can't. Like they did do one funny thing, which it was a social media thing where it was like one of the dudes from, fuck, I can't remember, the Revival tweeted something about, can you have your daddy make a match for us or whatever, and then Jason Jordan tweeted back, yeah, I would ask him, but we're too busy having fun, and it was like a Photoshop picture of them on a roller coaster with their like hands up. It was funny. I laughed. But like stuff like that, they don't translate onto TV, and it's just like, okay, what's the point? Because in 6 months we're gonna forget that that's his son anyway.
Yeah, they unless and I doubt they're going to do this because WWE always finds a way to screw up everything. Unless they maybe turn it into maybe either Kurt or Jason Jordan turns heel and turns on Kurt and maybe it leads to a match. I know that's a stretch, but it would be good to see. And I thought maybe they would, with Jason Jordan, maybe have him do the Kurt Angle's, like the wrestling machine gimmick, just run through, just use... Even if he only uses the angle slam and the ankle lock. And then just build them up. Of course, they're not going to do that, but just build them up for a couple weeks and then go from there. But, yeah, I feel like after a couple weeks or a couple months, he's going to be mid-card, doing main event matches, and, be forgotten about.
I feel like people have been talking, Twitter's been talking about, supposedly, somehow, this is supposed to lead to a match between Kurt Angle and Triple H, which I don't know how this would translate, but WWE always finds a way, so.
Yeah, that's a long road to get Triple H, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I feel like they could have drugged this, like, there's a secret, Kurt Angle has a secret thing. I still don't understand Corey Graves' role. Maybe he's just going to turn out to be a snitch. I don't know what that was, but I feel like it would have been better if they had Stephanie McMahon holding something over Kurt Angle's head and then that translated into something with Triple H. That would be the most logical thing, but of course WWE, our friends at WWE are not logical at all. So, but that's also why we watch it. So,
I don't even get how they made this seem like Kurt Angle had this, oh, the secret is going to ruin my life, it's going to ruin my family. And then when he told the story, it's like, dude, you dated a chick in college before you were married to either of your wives, and you had a child that you didn't know about. So how would this...
you want to know why it's so risque?
Because
the son's ass black. There you go. There you go.
Of course. Because I was like, okay, this isn't that bad when you look at it in the grand scheme of things. I mean, things happen when you're in college. You do dumb stuff. And then it was like, yeah, it just didn't make, but yeah, that totally makes the subliminalism make sense.
They shot the angle, so we officially going to get the Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt program as Bray Wyatt interferes during the no disqualification match between Finn Balor and the Drifter. And Elias Sampson gets the win after Bray hits Finn with the Sister Abigail. So the battle of the entrances should be pretty dope at SummerSlam.
Yeah, hopefully we get Demon Finn Balor at SummerSlam.
Oh yeah, you going to get him. So. Yeah, you going to get him. Because you know Bray going to be talking that shit.
Demon talk.
I'm a god and blah, blah, blah and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, he's on his Yeezus season, man.
We had a Spider-Man meets Spider-Man meme match as Good Brothers wrestled the Revival. Revival won with the Shadow Machine, then the Hardys hit the ring, and got some revenge on the Revival for last week. And somehow, like, all of a sudden, I don't know when it happened, maybe the Revival are just so good as heels. The people actually cheering Gallows and Anderson when they came out and were talking.
I think it's time for them to make a face turn. They're not really doing anything, and Revival are good as heels. They do a nice job at getting heat, and they could be, you know, and they're entertaining. I don't know if you guys watched their backstage stuff with Mike Rome and Nia Jax and all that. I mean, that's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, so I saw her going around with them playing pranks on people.
Yeah, so I mean,
seeing the Revival just makes me think of, what was that tag team Alexa Bliss used to manage in NXT?
Heck nah, Blake and Murphy.
What happened to them?
They weren't as good as the Revival, and Alexa Bliss was the real star.
Was she really a star, or just because she can do a flip? Let's just really be honest.
See, me and you are going to disagree here on this.
I had two full years of Alexa Bliss.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
You have.
And we also share the same name, so.
Yes, you have stuff on her that I don't have just watching her on TV.
I don't have anything on her. I just know what type of person she is, which she's not that good of a person, so I can't really.
This is more personal. You're
money. I don't hold grudges. This is, what, 2006, 2007? I have no beef with the girl. The girl probably don't even remember who I am. I just know I was on a track team with her, and I'm. Went to school with her. She was on the cheerleading team. I was on the dance team. Dance team really didn't vibe with the cheerleaders like that. So, you know, it was on site. So,
man, we need like a go back in time, like time machine to see these interactions.
Yeah. Listen, this is a feud right here, man. This is some nice promo material. You know? A nice little Attitude Era, Stone Cold or Rock, WrestleMania 17, little promo package type stuff.
Hopefully, maybe one day.
Last but not least, DD, how do you feel about the Shield, Dean and Seth? They got a win over the whole Mr. Raj 2-on-3 handicap match. That was our main event.
I still believe, so I'm not really happy with this turn of events.
You don't like Bo Dallas with the Mr. Raj?
No.
But he lost. I do, but he lost. I do. So what's the point of it?
But he's
only like it if he's a winner.
I saw the same. I saw the same match at a house show like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really impressed. Not as the main event. No, I wasn't really impressed.
Was the house show match better?
Was way better than what was going on here.
Yeah. That's because usually what happens.
Dean and Seth really didn't have to play that. Oh, I don't really fuck with you. I don't want to re-bring the Shield together. They were just like happy, happy, joy, joy. It was great to see. And I think they won that match too. Actually, yeah, they did.
I just want better for Curtis Axel. I have high hopes for him, even after this long. I feel like he should.
Hopes for what?
I don't know. I have a fondness for Curtis Axel, man. I don't know. I feel like he should be doing something. I don't know. He can go in the ring. I don't know if it's lack of charisma or I wouldn't even say lack of charisma. It's I don't know. It's something. I want
E, man.
I think it might be his accent too.
It's E, man. See, that's what a lot of people are missing, man. You got to have some E in you. You got to have a little bit of entertainment. You can't just come out here and be like a straight wrestler.
And I get that.
I mean, he's fine, though. The Mr. Raj is like missing.
Right, but that's like, helping him. That's helping him, right, develop his E is being aside the Miz. See, Bo Dallas has always had the E with him from jump.
I just feel like he should be with his brother. Like, it's about that time. Like, I'm tired of the antics.
It seems like they were going that way because he got the beard going. Yeah. He had the hair going out. And then all of a sudden, they stick him in this. And it's like, oh, dang.
I actually want him to stay far away from his brother. I don't.
Why not? His brother doesn't have anybody on his side anymore. It's just Bray Wyatt. We already know it's just Bray Wyatt doesn't work. We know that. I think I saw an image where it's like he has like 500 and something losses and like 100 and something wins, like pay-per-view wise, and I'm like, okay.
I blame creative. Ouch. Creative. Bray Wyatt should be way bigger than what he is, and that.
Yeah, but he doesn't work without his following and his fireflies and all whatever all that.
Yeah, he needs to. It's a cult gimmick.
It's a cult thing. You don't have a cult, yeah. Like that defeats the purpose.
Right. But you know what?
Manson was out here with just being himself with no cult. No.
But you know what would really pop Bray Wyatt though?
What
if he did something and turned babyface?
Oh yeah.
Because yeah. I was watching an old WCW like Saturday Night 605 show, and Dusty Rhodes was cutting his promo in an empty arena in front of just in front of the ring, and he's talking. And I'm listening, and I'm trying to follow what he's saying. And all of a sudden, I just go, that's fucking Bray Wyatt. Because it was rambling, but it still kind of had this steady line, but he was going around and around and around. I was like, dude, that is fucking Bray Wyatt right there. He's Dusty Rhodes. I was like, they need to find a way to turn that man babyface and cut these same promos, and it would be the shit.
It wouldn't be hard, because the fans halfway want to cheer for him now.
Well, yes, that is true. I, like I said, I went to a house show like a week ago or so, 2 weeks ago, when I came to Lexington, and the main event was Bray Wyatt versus John Cena, and they cheered the shit out of Bray Wyatt.
I know they did.
And with the cell phone lights and the gimmick, yo, that could, listen, that's face. That says face.
Until you see that at a house show, it's really like, because I've seen it on TV, and I'm like, okay, I don't know how they got these light effects going, but I saw it at a house show, and I'm like, oh, people really got their cell phone lights. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was at a Raw, when Raw came to Charleston back in the December of 2015. That's when he was with the Wyatt family. And, yeah, that – no, matter of fact, they came out from under the ring. They did, like, the little
– ooh.
The magic?
Yeah, the magic stuff, and they came out from underneath the ring. They caught the lights off, and then they showed up in the ring.
I really want to see him like start doing like where he like takes people out of the crowd and like converts them into some weird like cult shit. Like remember when CM Punk was doing like Straight Edge Society?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see him do some weird shit. Like
when Undertaker did with Midian and Viscera or something like that.
Yeah.
Some borderline Ministry of Darkness. Of course, they won't go that far, but something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. And if anybody has anything else to add, that was our Monday Night Raw review for this week. So. It's a pretty decent show. Following Battleground, that was a damn good show in comparison.
Excuse me, Finn. We all saw what happened earlier tonight, but can I get your thoughts on what transpired between you and Bray Wyatt?
If Bray Wyatt wants to play games, let's play.
All right, so SmackDown. First thing off top, Chris Jericho comes back.
Y2J.
AJ Styles, Kevin Owens starts out the show because his in-ring promo talking about how he got the title back from, AJ Styles, and he's going to bring that honor because he's the face of America. AJ comes out and was like, nah, man, I want my rematch. And, Owens says, man, I ain't wrestling you or anybody tonight. I'm just letting everybody know that the open challenge is going to start again just next week. So, of course, that brings Jericho, comes out of the blue. Jericho says he wants his rematch that he's due. AJ tells Chris, things change since he's been gone. And AJ says that he deserves his title shot. They go back and forth, AJ Styles and Jericho. And while they're arguing back and forth, Kevin Owens slips out of the ring. And he's just walking up the ramp. And he's almost like about to leave the arena. Shane comes out, stops on it at the top of the ramp, makes a triple threat match for the U.S. title as the main event for later in the night. So very fire open segment.
Yeah, I really thought that they were going to do that for SummerSlam, which would have been an ill SummerSlam match. But then I realized that this was just a one off, and it was a nice way to kind of put a bow on the KO Y2J storyline, then get AJ the title back. It kind of killed two birds with one stone. And, of course, Chris Jericho, he's one of my faves. I think he's become more of my fave during this run because just of the many ways he's reinvented himself. He's gotten so many different things over, not relying on the same tired shtick he was doing back in the 2000s. So,
yeah, he's had one ton of catchphrases and different.
Yeah,
I do agree with that. Now that I look at it, I'm like, I like Chris Jericho, though. He's one of my favorites, too, but for different reasons. But now that's an added bonus.
He had two scarves on this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, double scuff.
He didn't allow any of his newer stuff to get tired. He was doing the light-up jacket, then once he felt that had run his course, then he did the scarf, then once he did that, then he got the list.
The list and the scarf, though. That's a good combo, though.
Yeah, It's crazy. He's not relying on his same shtick from Attitude Era like a lot of other people who come back do.
Ooh, right. That was sounded like some shade right there.
I mean, when you look at, and it's been a while, but I mean, if you look at the Rock whenever he comes back.
Hold on now.
Hold on, man. The Rock don't need to evolve nothing.
Yeah.
He just.
So you guys aren't telling me that his. Don't get me wrong.
Nope.
I love The Rock.
Nope.
But it sounds corny. His stick sounds corny now in 2015 as opposed to in the 90s.
Nope. Not listening.
Nope.
Yeah, okay. It's my 2 cents.
I'm still cheer for people's eyebrow and
elbow. Yeah, definitely. He's definitely going to get a pop. And I mean, to add on, The Rock isn't there full time. So, okay. If you want to argue that, he doesn't have to evolve anything. But the stick is looking at it now.
Hulk Hogan didn't evolve not a goddamn thing, but people still to this day cheer for Hulk Hogan.
I mean, but Stone he went Cold NWO.
Stone Cold the same way. Stone Cold comes out, he's always Stone Cold. It ain't nothing changed.
If he didn't evolve from Stunning Steve, it was almost over.
He was done. And he was decent at Stunning Steve.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. He was real decent at Stunning Steve.
Yeah, he was decent at Stunning Steve. Yeah.
Decent at best.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he was like more of a pure wrestler as Stunning Steve. He didn't have they didn't let him talk. But I mean, he didn't have the promo all the way down.
Yeah.
But it's just as far as like get in the ring and wrestle. Oh my gosh, he has some matches with Ricky Steamboat that are off the chart.
Yeah, and he had that more cocky heel. Right.
But let's remember why we love Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
Yes,
the promo
and the antics.
Yeah. The same, basically, I was telling my mom during the election when Donald Trump was out here just running down in the primary when he was just trashing everybody. I said, God damn, that's Stone Cold Steve Austin in 96. I was like, he's out here saying the worst of things. And we should, everybody with smarts is not cheering him, but all the people are. You know, and the Republican fan base are eating that shit up. I was like, damn, it's just like Steve Austin when Bret Hart was like, he's
panic mode. They in panic mode. They don't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah, he's waking up first thing in the morning, ready, eating 140 characters for breakfast.
Okay. Right. So, off of that big angle, of course, we'll go to the main event, the triple threat match where we had Jericho, Styles, and Owens for the U.S. title. Owens gives Jericho the pop-up powerbomb for a two count. Then Owens goes up top, hits the bullfrog splash. He goes for the cover. AJ Styles sneaks in, throws Owens out of the ring, and AJ Styles pins Jericho. And we have a new U.S. champion again.
Which I feel like Kevin Owens really could have slid his fat ass back in that ring and broke up that pin. He just like sat there and watched in shock.
Well, he was probably winded, man. You know the frog splash, you know, when RVD used to do it, used to take a lot out of you. And then to have somebody come throw you
get
out of the ring unexpectedly. You know. But yeah, AJ Styles is back as your United States champion. And Kevin Owens basically cuts a promo after the match challenging AJ again next week for a 1-on-1 rematch. So
what are they going to do for SummerSlam?
Apparently, it's supposed to develop into a Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens beef.
I did read that today.
I read that today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, who does that leave AJ with?
Good question.
Whoever wants to be United States champion, because that's what they do. Whoever wants to be it, come on.
Somebody.
We need volunteers to want to be. Or, you know, John Cena just won a flag match, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I'd rather see Shinsuke versus Jinder Mahal. To be all the way honest, I'd rather see that than John Cena versus Jinder Mahal.
Me too. I was about to be so pissed.
We'll talk about that next. As Jinder came out to demand a new challenger, he said he vanquished Randy Orton. Get him the fuck out of here. Don't ever put him in my face again. And then, of course, Captain America comes out there. John Cena. He declares that he will be the next number one contender. He basically tells everybody to their face, Super Cena is going to show up at them SummerSlam. So unless Jinder got a damn M16 and a rocket launcher and a tank, he ain't winning. But Daniel Bryan comes out and says that Cena has to earn his title match. So Daniel Bryan says next week we will get a number one contenders match between John Cena and Shinsuke Nakamura. So
I'm looking
it's
going to
be lit.
Yeah, I was like, I was getting ready to say, I was so upset when John Cena came out. I was like, no, here we go. This is about
I knew that, though. I've read that before.
This is about to be a total waste of time. Boring SummerSlam main event. John Cena, Jinder Mahal, they're going to find a way to...
It's SummerSlam. You can't have a SummerSlam without John Cena. Come on now. You knew they was not going to let that one slide.
I mean, but I don't want to see him
don't
in
the... there somewhere. I really feel like Rusev's going to come out during the Shinsuke match and fuck some shit up. I really feel like that's coming because you can't just Rusev like that. It's not going to happen.
So do you think they would have two multi-man heavyweight title matches? You think they would do a three-way and a four-way for both the big titles? You think if Rusev comes down there and screws stuff up, it'll be Nakamura, Cena, and Jinder?
Nah. What I think they might do, and this is putting Rusev out of the picture, maybe they go Shinsuke, Jinder, and then go Cena, AJ.
Again?
Yeah, I mean, they teased
it. That'd be two SummerSlams back-to-back, wouldn't it? Because they just wrestled each other last year.
Remember they teased it a couple weeks ago when AJ was champion and had the open challenge and Cena came out. And they kind of, teased it.
AJ was like, I knew you were going to come out here.
I think they may go that way. Now, that's not counting Rusev. They may.
I could see it. I would also like to see Rusev as United States champion again, too, though. So
I want to see Rusev do something different.
For the purposes of this program and how we feel about these two teams, the next biggest thing that happened was the Usos attacked the New Day. They didn't even get out to in front of the crowd. Big E was warming the crowd up, getting everybody all hyped. And next thing you just hear and then, come out. Xavier gets tossed out onto the ramp and Kofi. And it's the New Day getting their ass whipped by the Usos. Took it to the streets.
I like it. I love both teams. I like the fact those entrance attacks. I feel like they're a lost art in wrestling. I love those, so it was good to see that. Trap Usos. I love it since they, turned into Trap Usos. But this is my only thing. Maybe you guys can have an answer for me. Why does New Day seem to always get beat up, even though it's three of them and two of whatever tag team they're feuding with? Like, it's y'all should always have the extra man advantage.
People that jump people don't ever prosper. You still look like the bitch if you jump at people. If you got more people than fight, you still look weak. It's not fair, and it's just really not fair.
I mean, but even still, if it's three on two with Big E.
But if you notice, whenever the attack comes, Big E is always targeted first. They always take the heater out first.
You take the biggest man out first. Come on now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and then by the time you get through beating down Xavier and Kofi and Big E re-enters the pictures, right? By the time you get through doing what you need to do to them, then you can focus your attention back on Big E when he tries to make the comeback.
Okay,
which is exactly what they did.
Yeah,
right.
That's cool. Right.
Promo, like you said, we had our champion Naomi. She was, doing her thing. Then Natty walks up. Talking some disrespectful type shit. She better watch the tone. Then as the interview is over and Natty walks away, like you said, Carmella just pops up in the scene like, hey, I'm here. Don't forget about me.
Boy, she knocked on the briefcase like it was a door. That had me weak. She was like, knock, knock, I'm here.
She had the free Ellsworth shirt on this week.
Yeah.
Did it really be free Ellsworth?
Yes.
Yeah, it did.
I didn't notice. I don't pay attention to her outfits because I feel like they're AliExpress trash. Anyway.
What really would have been funny if she would have took a page out of the Usos book, Carmella, and just been like, it's not paranoia, it's Carmella. That
would have been. Clever. She's not that smart to think of that.
Yeah, you're right. But that would have been.
If she does end up doing it next time, just tell WWE pay value some money. Cause yeah. Okay.
There you go. Oh, they got people who listen, so don't be surprised if something that you say ends up on the show.
Right. So Corbin, the occurrence for me.
Right. Trust Corbin me. And Naka.
PayPal me, cash at me. I just want my cut, WWE. I don't care. Just break me off. I don't need credit, whatever. You can take the credit. Just pay me a little something. I'll be good.
Corbin and Nakamura had a rematch. Nakamura gets the win with Kinshasa. Then we had Becky Lynch and Charlotte versus Lana and Tamina. Charlotte gives Lana the big boot and they get the win. And Tamina was highly pissed. And it looked like she was going to beat up Lana, but she thought better of it. So she spared her for one more week. But Lana ain't got too many more chances to fuck up.
Boy, she cussed her out. I felt so embarrassed for her.
And Aiden English and Mike Kanellis, they faced off against Sami Zayn and Todd Dillinger. And Sami Zayn and Todd Dillinger won when Sami hit the hell of a loop kick to get the win. So I guess they're just trying to give Sami Zayn some W's, build him up. They might have something planned for him. He's been a part of three wins in a row.
I
so
I consider him like Tommy Dreamer.
Man,
damn. Sami Zayn could be Daniel Bryan. He could be the ultimate babyface champion.
No, he doesn't have as much charisma as Daniel Bryan.
Not at all. Ooh, not even close.
I don't know, man. When I first Daniel Bryan to me at first, he didn't have the charisma. I didn't think he had the wrestling.
He's choking him out with a necktie on TV.
Yeah, yeah, but I was like,
how much more ignorant can you get than that? He's the man.
They won't let him portray his charisma, though. Like,
maybe that was it. I was like, he's kind of bland this promos week. I was like, if WWE is going to trust him and make him the champion, then he's got to, you know, make an investment and make his promos better. And then, of course, he got hurt, and we never got to see what could have been. So, which is still haunting Roman Reigns to this day.
Roman's promos has gotten better. That's not saying much.
Oh, no, they've gotten a lot better. Who's ever decided to just kind of shorten it down and give it a little bit of cocky and a little bit of swag? Yeah, it's much better. It's much better.
Oh, shut up. That shut up this week. And he told me to shut up.
Just coming out there and telling and just reminding everybody about what he's done. Like that one of his main talking points now. Like, yo, this is what I've done. What y'all done did. That's real good, too.
His promo after WrestleMania when he beat The Undertaker, that was brilliant. Straight brilliant. They just let him get all the heat, fans boom, and then he just simply said, it's my yard now, and walked off.
I'd like to hear him talk about what that felt like to have that level of real genuine heat in 2017.
Yeah, you beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, so The only man that can take that heat is Brock Lesnar, because he's Brock Lesnar, and everybody loves to hate Brock Lesnar.
Like, literally, I thought somebody was going to throw something in the ring. That's how out of control they were. But, you know, WWE fans are, I will give them this. When it was popular to throw stuff in the ring, they never did it. So I'll give them that for, you know, not falling to that standard. But I really thought, I was like, we are somebody throwing something in the ring away from this getting totally out of hand.
Yeah.
What they gonna throw? I'm not throwing my $7 souvenir cup in the ring. I pay $7. I got to the arena and they said souvenir cup. I seen $7. I said, ooh. But I had to buy one because Sasha was on the cup. So
yeah. Gotta.
Almost got to.
Gotta do it for the boss me.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the SmackDown Women's Champion, Naomi. Naomi, at Battleground, Natalya earned the opportunity to face you for the SmackDown Women's Championship at SummerSlam. How do you feel about Natalya refusing to shake your hand after the match?
Natalya is tough as nails. She proved that on Sunday. As for her refusing to shake my hand, though, if she think I'm going to just let her disrespect me like that, then...
Dash,
can you give us a sec, please?
Thanks. You want to talk about disrespect? You've tarnished everything that a WWE championship stands for. You've turned this into a kid's toy. You have no respect for legends like the Hart family that helped pave the way for you. You disgust me. And at SummerSlam, I'm going to take that title, and I'm going to restore honor back to the women's division. Got it?
You know what? You are so stuck in that dirty dungeon of the past that you can't even see that this is the now. The women's evolution is about the future. This represents that. I respect tradition. I didn't tarnish the title. I earned it. And I added a little piece of myself to it. So keep throwing your shade. At SummerSlam, you're going to be blinded by the glow.
Knock, knock. Knock, knock. Don't mind me, Naomi. Do not mind me. I just wanted to remind you that me and my Money in the Bank contract are just looking to the future. Capiche?
So speaking of buying things, you guys go over to CSPN.us, go through Amazon, keep the podcast free, buy some things over there. You know, wrestling attire, wrestling shirts, gifts, games, things for your computer, doesn't matter. Just do it through CSPN.us and Amazon.com, and that will allow us to keep the podcast free each and every week here on CSPN, as a little bit of your purchase will come back to the network, and we will use that to keep the podcast free each and every week here on CSPN. So CSPN on, and Amazon, do it today. Yes, ma'am?
Who y'all scammed to do that?
Huh?
I said, who y'all finessed to do that?
I don't know how it works. I just read it.
Oh, man. I'm just trying to figure out. Somebody knows something that I don't.
Yeah, I just read it.
Oh, y'all got money.
I just know that magically when I bought a yoga mat and a heart monitor and all this type of stuff, and I spent like $40, and some of that money went back to CSPN. I don't know how, but it did. So
yeah. I got a cart full of stuff right now that I'm about to buy. Might have to do that.
All right, so we're going to breeze through 205 Live because this was really like 205 Live. It really wasn't that much of a show.
That still comes on TV?
Yes, it still comes on.
It's on the network. So.
Daivari and Neville, they had a... we didn't talk about this from Monday Night Raw.
That's the reason why Talking Smack is not on TV no more.
I tweeted this during 205 Live. They could have just gave us a whole hour of Talking Smack over 205
Live. I'm saying, because like, I feel like 205 Live, like, it has live in the name, but it really don't have to be live. Like, I can go back and watch this on the network if I want to. I don't want to watch this immediately after SmackDown. I'd rather have an extra 30 minutes or an extra hour of SmackDown than watch.
Or show us the dark match.
Yes, or right. Or show us the dark main event on the network. Exactly.
Take 205 Live at Full Sail.
No, if they taped 205 Live at SmackDown, but just taped it before when everybody is like hyped to be there, and not afterwards when it's 10 o'clock and the kids who really
you gotta
you
go
know,
home.
Yeah, the it's kids. See, 205 Live is really a show that should be directed towards kids because A, the competitors are smaller, and B, they can do more of the things that can catch the kids' attention. If they let them jump off the ropes and do the flips and do all that stuff, but if you have the show come on after SmackDown, then the kids are all wiped out and they got to go home.
Yeah, that's true. Or do it like Raw, move SmackDown from 9 to 11, have that 8 o'clock hour for 205.
No. Let me tell you what you do. Y'all remember when they would have like the Raw replay on Sundays?
Mm-hmm.
It would come up. That's where 205 needs to be. On a Sunday. It needs to alternate every Sunday. And then, how about this? The pre-shows are now 205 Live. And there's a 205 Live match in the pre-shows. So you don't ever miss a Sunday of 205 Live. Because nobody... I don't want... First of all, this is what it does for Talking Smack. Now I've watched 30 minutes of something that doesn't have to do with SmackDown. So now you're going to have a show talking about SmackDown after 30 minutes. I've already forgotten what happened on SmackDown. It's only 2 hours. I've already forgotten. So now I have to revert back to Talking Smack and be like, oh yeah, that did happen. There's a whole huge 30-minute gap in between. And then by that time, I'm over it. Now at 10 o'clock, I automatically turn my TV off. Like, I don't watch 205 Live. I don't go to the network to watch 205 Live.
at this point, basically all I have to say, 205 Live is pointless, and it ruined the Cruiserweights.
I don't think it's pointless because there are some great competitors on there. Like,
but it's not doing anything for them. I mean, you don't care about any of those competitors more than you did when they were in the Cruiserweight Classic.
I care about Cedric a little bit more.
I think it's the format. I think it's the crowd. The crowd isn't into it, so it makes it seem dead. I think it's the way that the show is presented. I think it got away from what made the Cruiserweight Classic good, which was, hey guys, you guys have a chance to give me your, you got four of your best moves. Hit them. I don't care how crazy they are. I don't care how dangerous it may seem. Give me your four best moves and we're going to let you hit them. But if you watch 205 Live or you watch the Cruiserweights, it's the same thing you see when Kevin Owens wrestles. It's the same thing you see when AJ Styles wrestles. It's nothing different. Whereas in the Cruiserweight Classic, man, they were hitting all the craziest things they could hit because, you know, that's what the directive was, you know. But they have a totally different, homogenized presentation of, oh, no, it's not safe. You can't do it. So anyway, we get Daivari and Neville. They basically have a match from Monday Night Raw. They shot an angle where Tozawa calls out Daivari for injuring him. Daivari doesn't come out. Neville comes out. Neville and Tozawa get into it. And then eventually that leads to Daivari coming out. And Daivari hits the Hammerlock Rainmaker on both Tozawa and Neville, leaves them both laid out. So, you know, Daivari and Neville, now they have a match the next night. Neville takes the fight to the floor. Neville and Daivari, they were, you know, have Neville and they go to the outside, and then Tozawa and Neville have kind of like a stare down, and then that leads to Daivari pushing Neville into Tozawa, and then Neville gets counted out because the count was at like six when that happened, and so then of course he goes crashing into Tozawa, and Daivari gets back in the ring in time to beat the count. And after the match, Tozawa and Neville tease a brawl, and then it gets broken up by the refs in the back. So that was that. Brian Kendrick promo on Jack Gallagher, where he makes him a clown on the Titantron. Pre-match promo between Rich Swann, Cedric Alexander, and TJP and Tony Nese. And then we get the main event, TJP and Tony Nese versus Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander. Cedric Alexander goes up top. After he hits a springboard Itsugiri, he heads up to the top rope. Nese crashes Cedric on the turnbuckle. Cedric falls down into the ring. TJP rolls him up, and TJP and Tony Nese get the win. So that was 205 Live. Tony Nese had a great line. When he got introduced, he was doing the old Harlem Heat thing where he was basically cutting a promo while he was walking to the ring because, you know, he doesn't get promo time like that. And he said, I got eight reasons why your girlfriend is looking at me and not looking at you. And then he starts counting his abs. Oh, it was great. I was like, damn, that's shit. Roman need to be talking.
Yeah. That just made me miss when Booker T those used to come out as Harlem Heat and talk trash to the camera. I missed that. That was the only thing that that segment did. It just gave me flashbacks to WCW. So,
NXT, Ember Moon defeated Lady Tapia. A lot of people may know her from GFW if you guys are into Impact. And so Ember hits the Eclipse, gets the win. After the match, she cuts a promo, challenging Asuka at Brooklyn Takeover. The Authors of Pain came out for a squash match, but Sanity, Alexander Wolf, Killian Dane attacked their opponents, and then that led to a big brawl between Authors of Pain and Sanity. And Authors of Pain got the best of that altercation. Then we get our weekly Street Profits vignette. Can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. Thea Trinidad, she officially has a name for her character. It's like Zelina. I forgot what her last name is. But anyway, she confronts No Way Jose as he comes into the building. She says since he got it involved in Almas's affairs, he started a fire that he can't dance around. Then the Velveteen Dream defeated Cesar Bonini. He gave him the Death Valley driver kind of cartwheel. Then he followed that up with the Macho Man elbow. Got the win. After the match, Kayla tries to get another interview with him. And he says that, you know, this isn't the right place, a right venue, because he won't do an interview in front of the ugly NXT universe. I like it. I like it. William Regal then makes it official. Ember Moon and Asuka will face each other at TakeOver Brooklyn. Then we got a Drew McIntyre promo. And then we got our main event, Hideo Itami versus Cassius Ohno. Tommy goes for the GTS, but Ohno escapes. Then Itami kicks him low in front of the referee, and he gets disqualified. After the match, Itami beats down Ohno with kicks in the corner. Itami then gives him two go to sleep, and then he leaves the ring. And Tommy then comes back to the ringside area and gives Ono another GTS onto the ring steps.
No.
Yes. So Deo Tommy has officially turned heel.
It's about damn time.
Yeah, it's time he gets something going, because I wasn't sure.
Just hoping, pray he don't get injured between now and whatever they got going on, because he's known to do that.
If he gets hurt after this, he's done. If he gets hurt again for any long period of time, they're going to cut bait, I feel like.
Because he's injured the same thing every time, right?
It's been his shoulder. His shoulder, right?
Yeah.
They were putting him on that Finn Balor, Kevin Owens. I think he came in with them.
Yeah, he's been in NXT for a long time.
He's been injured half the time he's been there.
Yeah, and unfortunately,
he got injured like in the very beginning of him being there, and then he came back and he got injured like shortly after that too.
They had a fantastic storyline that they could have played up of who injured him, because it could have been Finn, because you know Hideo was like the darling at the time. Or it could have been Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens walked across the parking lot and was like, that's a shame.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, so.
There was no, that just ended, there was just no, nobody said anything about it after.
No. It just ended with Hideo Tommy, you know, catches Ono, they get a close-up of him, like, literally knocked out, foaming at the mouth after getting GTS.
No, I mean the who injured Hideo thing in the parking
lot. No. They never brought it back up, because all of the suspects were all on the main roster. Because I mean, so long to come back. He was like supposed to be out for 8 months, and then all of a sudden re-injured himself rehabbing, so he had to be out like another 8 months. So it was almost out like 2 years. Two things, man. NXT was about to get real fun with the Street Profits come. I don't know. Angelo Dawkins has had a bunch of different gimmicks, so maybe this one will stick. But even
that's the Red Cup dudes, right?
Right. The dude who has the red cup, Montez Ford, even if this doesn't work out, he's going to make it. He got the charisma to make it.
Yeah, he's going to be my new baby.
Yeah, he is funny as shit. And then Velveteen Dream, y'all. Get with it.
No.
I'm still – I feel like this is a Goldust 96 era-ish. I don't know how to feel about him yet.
I'm telling you.
I don't know.
The ground floor is right here. You can get on now, or you can get on later and be like, oh.
I'm not totally over Prince dying yet for him to be doing a Prince gimmick. I'm not with it.
But I am happy for Patrick Clark, watching him on Tough Enough and seeing him do different things, and finally getting a break, a decent, you know, story and gimmick and something that seems to be working for him. So kudos to him.
And you know why he's going to be fine? Because he said what I talked about last week. He's in the Triple H bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Triple H really likes Patrick Clark.
Yeah. So he's going to be fine. Even if this doesn't work out, or if they have to change it a little bit, he's going to get plenty of opportunities. And he's got
this is like his third gimmick in the same.
But this is like, but I think this is his first one that he's actually had the input in. I think the other ones, they just gave him something to get him on TV to kind of, you know, try him out, make sure he was, you know, good enough to see him actually wrestle in their promotion. Then they yanked him off TV. But then they yanked him off TV, and then he, you know, came back out with this, and then they yanked him off TV again when he came out with this like 1 week, and then they yanked him off TV for like 2 more weeks, 3 weeks, and then he came back out with it again.
Tooth out. Didn't he get his tooth knocked out?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I remember he got like when he first came out with the Velveteen, the feminine type, androgynous type thing. And then I don't remember who he wrestled, but he got his tooth knocked out. And then they did like a WWE like .com thing about him getting his tooth fixed or whatever. Kind of like stuff.
Apparently, Patrick Clark and Aleister Black have been having these fantastic matches at the live shows. So. Hopefully, maybe eventually they'll bring that to TV. But yeah, I've heard a bunch of people talk about going to NXT live shows and Velveteen Dream really showing them a lot, and they've been impressed with him and Aleister Black main event in the show. So things are looking up for him, guys. So I'm telling y'all, Aleister Black, Peyton Royce, and Patrick Clark. That's the future.
I like Aleister Black. I've seen some of his stuff. I like him. So, we'll see. I usually don't get to watch NXT, I usually pay more attention towards like the takeover shows. I watch enough, I keep up with it enough to know like what the matches are going to be for takeover. So I'm sure he'll be on this next takeover card. So it'll be interesting to see who he's.
There's something about Peyton Royce that reminds me of, I don't know if she reminds me more of the donkey from Shrek or the dragon.
Wow.
But one of those characters or a combination of both she reminds me of. It might be her nose and her teeth.
Just crush all my dreams for all my faves, Littlefoot. Thank you. I love you so much.
I'm not trying to. If you like these girls, that's your taste, and I'm not trying to sway you or sway your opinion. I'm just trying to give you a little bit more insight, see the bigger picture.
Yes, the more information I have, so I can make sounder decisions. Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
As long as it's not Alicia Fox.
I don't know what's. I really thought that her and Noam Dar could have like been a really cool heel kind of, you know, ballet type manager thing, but they never really let it get that way. But they could have worked that out.
So are they done? That's not a thing anymore.
Yes, it's not a thing anymore. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, Noam Dar dumped her a couple of 205s ago.
Oh, good. Good for him.
So last up, we got a little bit of Lucha Underground real fast. The Mac loses to Tejano in the Cueto Cup. He gets distracted, so take a drink out there by Famous B. And Famous B gets a stunner for his troubles, and then Tejano hits the mat with the sit-out powerbomb. Son of Havoc confronts Son of Madness in a bar. They tussle around. Basically, Son of Havoc says that he's not coming back to the gang, and Son of Madness says, well, he's just going to make his life a living hell until he decides either, you know, he's going to come back on his own or he's going to force him to come back. We got a weird thing with Masagrita Sagrada and the Rabbit Tribe where he gave them a rabbit's foot, and of course it freaked them out. Paul London, what can I say?
He's on there? He's on
yes.
I was about to say, he's on Lucha Underground now?
Yeah, and they're doing like an Alice in Wonderland.
They're
doing like an Alice in Wonderland type gimmick. And yeah, it's out there. Mm. It's the reason why he's on Lucha Underground and Brian Kendrick is on WWE. It's called Drugs. Mm. We had Drago versus Pentagon Dart. Pentagon Dart gets the win with the package power driver. Pentagon's about to break Drago's arm when Aerostar comes down to save Drago. Aerostar then gets attacked by Drago, who leaves him for Pentagon Jr. to Pentagon Dark in this case, and Pentagon does the arm thing to Aerostar. Katrina confronts Pentagon in the back, basically tells him that her and Mill haven't forgot about the championship match where Pentagon won the belt from Mill. And if they happen to meet in this tournament, that, you know, Mill is going to seek revenge. And then our main event, Rey Mysterio versus PJ Black. After a run-in by Johnny Mundo, Jack Evans, and Dragon Azteca, Rey Mysterio Jr. hits the 619, then he hits the moonsault, and he gets the win. And then he cuts an in-ring promo on Johnny Mundo after the match. Mm-hmm. So,
My little faves is on Lucha Underground, and I do not have El Rey.
Okay, well, that's all you have to say. I'll start tuning you in. I'll do like I do with Jade to the Max. I'll send you the link to the alternative viewing availabilities.
Isn't it like a season thing? Like,
it is kind of, but I mean, right now there's really not much going on storyline wise. It's just this big tournament that's going on, and you know, you can just jump in and catch it from the matches. It's not really a lot of plot stuff going on like the past two seasons have been.
Because I thought it's like a show, but it's like wrestling too.
But it's the show part for the past few weeks hasn't been that big of a deal because they're doing this big tournament. So
okay,
yeah, but it's very beautiful.
Don't they have the first couple seasons on Netflix now?
I'm gonna have to go see about that.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. They have a lot of the best high flyers in the world under contract. They have Ricochet, Prince Puma. They have Shane Strickland, aka Killshot. They have AR Fox or Dante Fox, as they call him. Son of Habit, Matt Cross. He's fantastic. What? Yeah. They've got Jeff Cobb. So I mean, they've got a bunch of the Brian Cage. They've got a bunch of really good talent on their show.
Okay. I'm gonna have Netflix this weekend.
I guess I'm gonna set my DVR then, because I have LRA Network. I just don't watch it. Wednesdays are usually my long day, so by the time I get home, it's already gone off.
Oh, man, it's Wednesday Night Wars for real, man. I mean, Lucha Underground, NXT. I mean, like, if you go on wrestling Twitter on Wednesday nights, it's kind of split up. I mean, there's a lot of just as many people watching Lucha Underground as there seems to be watching NXT on the timeline. So, you know, I try to avoid both at that point because I watch one, then I watch the other, usually NXT first.
I think my timeline might be a little bit more poor because my timeline's not watching El Rey.
My timeline isn't watching, well, I don't, like I said, it's my long day, so I'm not really on Twitter until like 9, 10 o'clock. So.
Well, you know, when you're looking on the WrestleCast Twitter and it's centric on wrestling, you get to see all the likes of everybody who's out there watching everything from Wrestle Circus to New Japan to whatever they're watching. You know, I can kind of gauge off of that account kind of what's the hot ish going on that night or that day. So, but yeah, it seems to be, you know, just as many people are catching up on Lucha Underground or finding the channel or subscribing on iTunes. It's available on iTunes as well. So, yeah, guys, check it out. It's a really slick show. It's really produced so good. I mean, it looks fantastic. It looks better than
I see the commercials on TV, but then I'm like, why is my cable provider showing me these commercials knowing I don't have this network?
Yeah, so that was basically this week in WWE and Lucha Underground. So, Alexis, is there anything you'd like to add? Final thoughts, shout-outs?
I met Al Snow. Like,
oh, nice.
Yesterday.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Was this like a random meeting or was this at a show?
Oh, no, he came to my job and saw me.
Nice. Just to come see you?
Yeah, I am a brand ambassador for his new clothing line. It's like wrestling inspired themed apparel.
Nice.
Oh, nice. That's dope.
It's called Calling Elbow.
Okay. Do he have head with him?
No.
Oh.
But he looks really good for his age.
Yeah, he'd be bulked up.
He looks very good for 54 years old.
Cool.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, that's it. It's just, you know, an average day at work.
Yeah.
Al Snow walks in.
Did anybody besides you know who he was or his background or anything? Do you work with a bunch of wrestling fans?
I mean, we're from Kentucky, so if you don't know Al Snow in Kentucky, it's...
Well, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, that's where he started.
Yeah, in OVW, and he's trained over 100 people that are in WWE currently and have been in WWE, so...
Have you ever met Rip Rogers?
A few of my coworkers knew who. What?
Have you ever seen or met Rip Rogers in real life?
No. Al Snow is the first wrestler I've ever met in person.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, wow, really? Nice.
Nice. Anything else you want to let the people know before we go?
I have a t-shirt for sale on my website, alexislittlefoot.com/shop.
Support, y'all.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you, Alexis, for joining us as always here on the WrestleCast.
Thank you.
Mike, shout outs?
No, I don't have any shout outs. Just want to thank y'all for having me. This is, like I said, my first time on this show. I'm definitely going to be checking out the rest of you guys' stuff, man. Alexis, I'm definitely checking out your podcast and kind of interacting with you guys a little bit more. This was a dope experience, and just thank you guys for having me. It was fun talking about, you know, pro wrestling, WWE, New Japan, all that. So, and y'all can follow me on Twitter. It's Mike_Fresh803. That's Mike_Fresh803. And yeah, that's about it.
All right. Well, for both my guests, I'd like to thank them for jumping on this little, you know, short notice. But thank you all for answering the bell and coming on and helping me break down all the events in WWE this past week. Thanks to Didi Jonet for running in late and joining us. I'd like to thank Sam and Greg out there living their lives out in the world. Give a big shout out to Classic Materia for all the work he's going to do putting the show together later on. Give a shout out to everybody on CSPN putting in work. We got new shows. Shout out to Candace for joining Jeremy and their new Ratchet Ramblings podcast. That should be a lot of fun every week as they recap Ratchet TV.
Yes.
You guys check out the latest episode of Cast Strong Style. Episode 10 will be dropping this weekend as me and Moto, we look over the G1, first half of the G1 that is going on in New Japan, and we break down the matches and highlight some fantastic wrestling matches that all you guys should go out of your way to find and watch.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
How does one, like, insert themselves in the New Japan realm of whatever the hell y'all got going on.
There's two ways you can get there. They have a streaming service that's $9.99, just like WWE.
If I told you I can't afford El Rey Network, what makes you think?
And then secondly, you can, if you have Access TV, they show the matches there.
What's that? What's Access? Hit me.
Please. It's the old HD TV network.
The old TV Guy channel.
So
you mean the same thing that
No. This was it's HD TV. It was another station before this, but it's Access TV now. It's Mark Cuban. I'm trying to think about what they show. They show like a bunch of MMA and kind of combat sports, or some of the bigger matches and bigger events. You know, there's alternative means that I can send your way.
Okay.
But yeah, so I mean, if you want to get into it, I can. I'll send you the last one
in the middle of the night, tweeting about it, and I just don't.
Yeah, I give a big shout out to Anwar Starwin, man. He's definitely been going hard this whole G1 with the hashtag Cast a Strong Style. Yeah, I'm at work. I have to go to work when those things start, so they start usually at like 5 or 6 in the morning, and usually I'm getting ready to go to work, and by the time I get to work, you know, he's going strong on the hashtag, so. Big shout out to him.
Y'all real fans, man. I look up to y'all, man. Y'all real fans, because ain't no way I'm waking up. I think I woke up for that Beast in the East thing. That was like the earliest I ever woke up, and I was like, yeah, I can't do that anymore. I don't care if it is Brock Lesnar.
Usually don't watch them live. I usually will catch it at like just after it's over. So usually they get done around 9:30.
Whoa.
And then I'll
this
watch it.
It starts at 5 a.m. and doesn't stop till 9 a.m.
Yeah, because they have like intermission in some of the shows, so it kind of gets drawn out. Most of the shows are anywhere between 2.5-3 hours, and if you get a really big show, you might get 4 or 5 hours. Just depends on what the matches are.
Yeah, I'll just watch Access. I'll just watch the hour on Access.
Because what happens, the bigger the event is, the more time the main matches get. So that's why, like, the last three matches, it might be
real wrestling. Like, you're just simply in it for that. That's what you're watching. You're not.
Like an actual sporting event.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely ain't got it in me.
Right. Because, like, New Japan main event, on a big show, it's going to go like 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's on like a short main event.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, get into it, man. It's really good wrestling. If you just like, just, you know, pure art form wrestling, not a lot of frills and thrills, just, you know, hey, two guys can get in the ring and they're going to wrestle and see who can pin who. Yeah. New Japan is definitely where it's at. So, you know, like I said, check out Cast a Strong Style. Also, check out the What We Are Watching hashtag to kind of see some older matches from Japan involving some of your all-time favorites from back in the day. There's a bunch of matches up with the Road Warriors in Japan, wrestling some classic Japanese wrestlers, British Bulldogs, who are like over big time in Japan. A bunch of matches with them. Dynamite Kid at like his absolute best in like 1984, 85. Just like probably the best wrestler in the world, maybe at that time, besides Ric Flair, was Dynamite Kid. And yeah, the British Bulldogs were over huge in Japan. So a bunch of cool matches. Great Muda versus Masahiro Chono. There's Ultimo Dragon versus Jushin Thunder Liger, the very first time they ever wrestled each other. That match is fantastic. So yeah, it's just a bunch of cool, just old Japan matches underneath what we're watching hashtag. So you guys check those out. And with that being said, for Alexis, for Mike, and Didi Jonay, I'm Don DeLaRente, and this has been episode 144 of the WrestleCast. Stay tuned for the parting promo.
This just feels right, doesn't it? I am once again your United States champion. And now that I am once again your United States champion, I can go back to defending this title with the pride and the honor it deserves. Which is why I am reinstating the Kevin Owens United States title open challenge. And it begins next week. Does that make you mad? Yeah, well, let me be clear here. There is no way, under any circumstance, that I would ever defend my title in front of a bunch of hicks from Richmond, Virginia.
I came out here to get my rematch for that United States Championship.
Your rematch? You get a rematch? Yeah. I literally just said I am not defending my title tonight against you or anyone. You get that?
Could it be?
No way. No way.
It is.
Talk anymore. Shut your mouth, Owens, okay? This isn't Montreal. This is America, man. And I'm sick of hearing you yakking because the last time I was on SmackDown, I left on a stretcher thanks to you. But after a few months of rehabbing and CrossFit and eating well, drinking a few beers, I'm back, baby, right here tonight. Oh, yeah. And on top of that, I am back to get my rematch for that U.S. title right here, right now, tonight!
We're all glad you haven't lost your sense of humor since you've been gone. But a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have happened. And as of right now, the next guy in line for that United States Championship is me.
You know what happens when you cut in front of Y2J for the U.S. title match, AJ Styles? You know what happens? You just made the list!
Gentlemen, you will both get your opportunity. As a matter of fact, I think you're going to get your opportunity at the same time. Because as of right now, the United States Championship will be defended in a triple threat matchup between Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, and AJ Styles. It's going to happen tonight, right here in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, I like it.
That is awesome. What an incredible main event.
Kevin Owens might be a first-rate candidate for worst night ever.
One of the biggest